Welcome back to the Enterprise Agility Podcast. I'm your host, John Lim, and today we'll be talking with Andy Jordan and Fred Champlain about what's next for hybrid work. It's never easy to say what the future will hold, but of course, that's exactly what I've asked our team to do here today. Let's listen in now.
In the last podcast, which I'm sure you've just listened to, Fred suggested that the way that people need to work today is not the way that people need to work tomorrow. The world of work is continuously evolving, and in order to be successful, there has to be that ability to adapt. So we're going to talk today about how hybrid fits into that and what it might look like. And we've deliberately not talked prior to this recording so that we could sort of throw some ideas around and keep it fresh. So here's the first thing I'm going to challenge you on, Fred. I think that the future of hybrid is a complete removal of standardization. We're going to see that organizations are going to create an environment where there are guidelines or safety rails or whatever you want to call it in place around the way to work in an agile manner, potentially the way to work in a plan-driven manner where that's still appropriate. And then between those two extremes and within those guidelines, guardrails, whatever, project managers and their teams, product managers, are going to have the freedom to work however they want, creating their own version of hybrid for every single project, every single unique endeavor, every digital product, every value stream, every epic, whatever it might be that they're doing. They'll have that freedom to work the way that works for them to deliver the best possible solution, driving the best possible client and enterprise value. So there's my first thought. Tell me where I'm wrong.
Andy, I think that's a great hypothesis. And so just a few thoughts around that. I agree. I think, as we said earlier, there's the flexibility of finding the right fit. But I think also as we see work evolve, we're seeing a lot of trends. And one of them is for a lot of organizations is really empowering teams. So you have some federation or decentralization of the work. But to do that effectively, you have to all have shared ideas of mindset, ways of working. But what you really need is the scaling factors that we think about. So you mentioned guardrails as policies. You need OKRs, you need goals, common goals, and you need a mechanism to for everybody to use and convey and measure and track those goals. You need to find and manage your risk. So you think about dependencies in particular as a sometimes very difficult risk between teams. But teams that have the tools and the capabilities in a real-time fashion to look at this and to think about the funding and make sure they have continuous planning and funding so they can manage their demand, it allows them to be empowered. It allows them to then be more federated and adaptive. So it's an underlying part of the business agility. And again, this is why I believe companies are finding what fits for them. And you're going from plan-driven to more of an iterative, agile approach and finding whatever that combination is. Once you have the overarching tooling, if you will, for OKRs, for dependency management, visibility, you can look at your architecture. And you've got the right level of tooling, whether it's, you know, enterprise agile planning or maybe collaborative work management might be the right fit. So these teams can find a better fit for them, and organizations, product teams, program teams, they can find the right fit for their delivery. I think that's what we're providing. That's where we're headed. That's what the future looks like.
Absolutely. I agree. I mean, one of the pushbacks I always get when I sort of suggest that people are going to, or organizations are going to move away from standardization, it's like, well, how do we measure performance? We have to be able to measure velocity and compare performance across teams, or we have to be able to look at stoplight models to understand who's red and who's green. And I'm like, well, those things don't tell you anything worthwhile. The idea of OKRs allows you to actually measure what matters. Are we contributing value? Are we aligning that value with the priorities and needs of the organization? And that's the kind of thing that the tooling and the processes needs to be able to support. If we're going to ask our teams to deliver work that enables business outcomes to be achieved, then we need to be able to help them with tools that keep that alignment and with reporting and analysis that allows us to identify when adjustments are necessary. And I think that's one of the great advantages that ServiceNow offers. is that it doesn't just do that. It does that with multiple different opportunities and options for working so that every team is still working the way they want, but that leadership has got that visibility they need into what's happening and whether or not the performance, the contributions to those OKRs is actually happening.
That's right, Andy. And being able to manage the funding, the capacity allocation, resource management in a holistic way really enables the teams to have the configuration, the topology or the team topology that's needed for the situation. So I think it's about providing that flexibility, providing the richness of the environment, providing the workflow, the policies that it takes to bring this together, all together, keeping in mind architecture for most of our customers are building digital products, cyber physical products, and we're increasingly seeing a pivot into product perspectives, right? And in terms of a framework, product framework, product and services, and when we think about that, that's really where we need the teams to be enabled to make those decisions, to be competitive, and really have the organizational capability to pivot and respond to hypotheses and respond as an organization. And that's really what the competitiveness is, the business agility that it takes to be competitive and remain viable in the market.
Absolutely. And that's going to become ever more important. The world shows no prospects of slowing down, and AI is just accelerating things all over again. And I think for people listening to this, one of the advantages that they have with ServiceNow is ServiceNow is already thinking about this. It's already developing this. It's providing clients with functionality that they're going to need, not just with what they need right now. You're already looking for the future and enabling the future as opposed to running to try and catch up with what people want to do today. And I think that's a key differentiator.
Absolutely. And you mentioned AI and Gen AI. As we think from a platform perspective, as we start to have really large training capability across the platform to go beyond what we think of today as SPM and PPM and Enterprise Agile Planning and the CWM, but really to delve into product operations and start finding correlations of architecture and fit of architecture as well, and manage our technical debt, and let AI to start find and surface those opportunities as we think about value stream optimization and flow at multiple levels through our system, whether it's a development value stream or a business or operational value stream. We have tremendous potential in this area as we move forward. Certainly, we'll also work to enable and make the work of products more efficient. I think that's where you'll see us initially apply some Gen AI. But the future, when we look over that horizon, is pretty powerful.
Absolutely. And I can't do better than that. The future is pretty powerful. I don't think any of us know exactly what it's going to be like, but it's going to be pretty powerful, ladies and gentlemen. So that seems like a great place to end this podcast. Join us again real soon, and we'll talk about something else that is equally exciting and just as powerful.